WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The band Talking Heads hasn't gone on tour since 1984, so their guitarist and keyboard player, Jerry Harrison, formed his own band, The Casual Gods. They have a new record called Walk on Water. In the early 70s, Harrison played keyboards in a band that's now seen as a forerunner of punk, the Modern Lovers. In 1977, he became the fourth Talking Head. This summer, while the Talking Heads' frontman, David Byrne, continues recording his current obsession, Brazilian music, the other three heads, Harrison, Chris Franz, and Tina Weymouth, will go on tour together. Jerry Harrison spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet about his new record, Walk on Water. One of the songs takes its lyric from a book about the painter Jackson Pollock. The song is Cowboys Got to Go.
Ground underneath the heel of misfortune, jammed on the clean like a cigarette scorching, swept on my feet when I told you I wanted simply to hold you. Now the Indian can stay, but the cowboy's gotta go. All right.
When you first went to make your own records, did you find that you were a singer, or was that something you had to work on? Did you physically have to work on your voice and also work on developing your style?
Yes. I had sung in bands, but I had not been the lead singer in bands. I'd sung songs here and there, but it was not something I'd done so consistently that I had a clear idea of what I could do with my voice. And so it became a process of discovery. And, for instance, on this record, that's one of the reasons I liked writing in different styles, because it opened up all sorts of avenues of expression for me to experiment with. I think the tour we did with Casual Gods really was a very exciting thing for me, because there's one thing about singing on records and even singing at home, and there's another thing about going out and every night singing for an hour in front of people, and you get this feedback from people and you learn things that you can do and things that maybe you better not do.
Back in the early 70s, you were studying at Harvard when you first hooked up with the Modern Lovers. Had you always seen yourself as a musician? Did your whole life think, well, I'm going to be in a band, or did you think that you would probably become a more practical architect or something?
No, I thought when I went to Harvard, I sold all of the instruments that I'd had. I was in high school bands. I thought, now my life is going to be serious. And then the guy who lived downstairs from me, who was Ernie Brooks, started forming a band, and I'd kind of go to their rehearsals and, like, say, making suggestions and saying, finally, I was like, forget it. Went out and bought a whole bunch of new equipment and started again. But even then, it was still seemed like a sideline until I got involved with the Modern Lovers. And when I got involved with the Modern Lovers, I realized that we were making as important music as anybody in the world. And at that point, I realized I would be a professional musician. And it was very good for me, because what it did is it became a professional musician and thinking about music in a way about ideas rather than like whether you could play more fluidly or faster or anything like that. And I think that if there was anything that set the new wave or punk rock off from what was going on in those days, that is that attitude, is that idea comes first and ability second.
Share the modern world with me. Cause I'm in love with the USA now. I'm in love with the modern world now. Put down the cigarette and drop out of BU. All right.
This Modern Lovers group ended up, well, it's now seen as being really seminal to punk rock, which didn't get started years later. But at the time you were doing it, did it seem like you were part of something that was really significant?
It seemed like we were out on the edge to me. I mean, I would put on these concerts and I'd hire the hall and like get a permit from the police department, and then some policeman would come and be there for, I don't know, as a guard, I guess, and make posters and do all of this stuff, and we'd play, and then at the end, all the money would go to all of those elements, and we'd walk home with $5 or something like that, and it was very rough. It seems very romantic now, but at the time, it took a lot of fortitude, you might say.
So you had a fairly small cult following?
Yes. And as we were breaking up is when it really started to get bigger, naturally.
Why did it break up?
Well, Jonathan had moved away from what I would say is like what his love of the Velvet Underground into a love of Van Morrison. And he changed his whole style of songwriting and changed his way of playing guitar.
Was Jonathan starting to do his, like, the wheels on the bus period?
Yes, he was in his... I remember him writing, "Hey There, Little Insect," in the backseat of my car and refusing to go look at the Grand Canyon because he was busy. And we're kind of, "We drove all the way here, you're not going to see it." Okay. But on the other hand, he wrote a song. But, I mean, I also... Those songs that then developed, to me, he was cutting off a portion of our audience that I found a very important part to reach. When the Modern Lovers was going in Boston and we sounded like the first Modern Lovers record sounds, we would play a place like Arlington High School, which was a fairly kind of blackboard jungle style high school. And we would play songs like She Cracked and the audience would go crazy thinking that this... And so it was kind of the harshness and the hardness of the sound appealed to their ears. And yet we also had these very, very sensitive lyrics like, "When you get out of the hospital, will you let me back into your life?" And I thought, this is so great. I thought that Jonathan's change in songwriting put him into... He lost all of those people. It was only the people that already were sensitive that were interested in what he was doing. And I wasn't so interested in cutting ourselves off from that. And on top of that, he left less and less room for the other musicians. So it became so unchallenging, it just had to end. Mm.
So then it was a few years later you ended up joining the Talking Heads. How did you hook up with them?
Actually, they called me up. I was living in Boston, broke, and they were looking for a keyboard player, and all these people brought my name up to them. And the Modern Lovers record had recently come out in Berserkly, so it was quite known in those circles. So they called me up and said, "Would I mind coming down and try playing together?" I said, "I'd love to." And the only way I could get to New York was I did a moving job. I moved someone else's furniture to New York. It was the only way I could afford to even get there. And so we loaded up the truck, and there wasn't room for my keyboard. It was so crowded. So I just took a guitar. So I arrived at their loft, and they said, "I thought you were a keyboard player." "Well, I am, but I just couldn't bring it. So I brought my guitar." So we went out and had Chinese food, and then we went back and started rehearsing around 1 o'clock in the morning. And I think from the moment we started, it just was great. And I think all of us thought, this is going to work.
And when you joined, was the band still playing at CBGB's regularly?
Yes.
And was that was sort of the beginning of the punk movement? And when we look back on it now, it seemed like it was probably really exciting. Did it seem that way then?
Absolutely. Because it was the first time there had been an underground since the 60s. And I think the underground was largely created by the record companies ignoring it. And so these bands had a couple of years to develop without the pressures of being signed to record companies and doing world tours or even tours of the United States. And so everyone had kind of an us against them attitude, but us was all the bands.
At a certain point, I guess around the time when Talking Heads recorded Remain in Light, they really started turning towards African music a lot more. And then it was a tour right after that when you expanded the band.
That's
for the
right.
tour, right? And you played a large part in pulling that band together,
That's right.
didn't you? Now, was that because you were more interested in the funkier music or more knowledgeable about it?
I think the reason that I hired the band is I just took the job on. But also, I had been living in New York the most. So when David and I sat down while we were finishing mixing Remain in Light, we said, if we're going to play this live, we've played all these different parts on these records. We can't do it all ourselves. So we said, okay, well, we're going to need two keyboard players. We need another guitar. We're going to need a percussion player. Even we're going to need another bass player, maybe. So I went out one afternoon, and I just called up all the best people I knew, and they all said yes. And I came back like an hour later and said, well, here's our new band. We have Adrian Ballou playing guitar and Bernie Worrell. And I mean, and Brian and David Gwynn. How did you do that? It was like so astonishing. And that was the beginning of it. I also think it was the beginning of people seeing David apart from the rest of the band. Because I think that when we were a four-piece, the way the lighting was is usually you could always see everyone in the band. And I always thought of us as a diamond that kind of rotated and you always saw new facets to. Once we had eight people on stage, your eye just can't take that all in. And I think that then the lights began to direct your attention more, and naturally they direct them towards the singers.
Do you have any idea what's going to happen with the Talking Heads in the future?
No. I don't have any idea.
Okay.
It's really up to David. I mean, I'm ready. I would like to make a record and do a tour, so I kind of feel like we owe it to our audience, but we'll see.
Jerry Harrison spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet. His new Casual Gods record is titled Walk on Water. This is Fresh Air.